We're turning to Acts chapter 13, and my text is found in the words of verse 22 concerning David, when the Lord said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." What an imprint David has left on the sands of time. He was one of the world's greatest rulers, kings. More passages of Scripture are devoted to the life story of David than to any other person except the Lord himself. The last half of 1 Samuel, the whole of 2 Samuel, part of 1 Kings, the whole of 1 Chronicles, mainly feature David. Then we have the Psalms, most of which are from David's pen. Before ever he came to prominence, life in Israel had fallen to a low ebb. The word of God was no longer adhered to. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The profanity, the loose living of Eli's sons had cast its withering blight over society. The people as a whole had rejected the Lord that he should not reign over them. The one on the throne was so far removed from what was expected of him that the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over the nation. The tabernacle, it was no longer in the midst of the camp. It had been abandoned in the fields of the wood. "Help, Lord," the cry went up, "help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." In such an hour of departure and crisis, the Lord sought for a man, and he found David. Our text is a quotation from 1 Samuel chapter 13. And we'll be coming back to this chapter, so it would be good to put a marker in. But it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. When Samuel said to Saul, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." David was that man. The Lord is still looking for men and women of this caliber, of this standing. He is looking today for those who delight themselves in him, who purpose to go on with him and serve him all the days that he will give. David, a man after God's own heart. And we can see this worked out in several ways. He was a man after God's own heart in regeneration. Here is the secret of it all. Even as a child, a youth, David recognized his own sinfulness. He acknowledged his need of salvation. While minding his father's sheep on the hillside near Bethlehem, David learned valuable spiritual lessons. He looked up into the night sky with its twinkling stars. He watched the sun rising and setting, and the moon shining with its borrowed light. He noted the rotation of the seasons, each with their particular features. And David came to the firm conviction expressed in Psalm 14 and verse 1 that only a fool would say there is no God. Having pondered all the lessons that nature taught him, instead of seeing himself as all important, in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, David had this to say: "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" David acknowledged God as the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. He acknowledged him as the Almighty God. And in his presence, he realized how insignificant I am. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. In the words of that penitent Psalm 51 and verse 5, he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm a sinner in the sight of the all-seeing eye of God." And what did David do with his sin? Did he brush it under the carpet and pretend it didn't exist and live in a world of make-believe? Did he try to convince himself that all was well with him? Did he try to live a better life and do his best? None of those things applied to David. We find in Psalm 32 and the verse 5 where he says, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin." He said in the shepherd's psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my Savior." As a shepherd, David risked his life to pull the lamb from the jaws of the lion and the bear. He saved it from certain death. And David saw the Lord as the good shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep on the cross. He looked to the shed blood of the Lamb of God, was born again, regenerated. He became a new creature in Christ. And without the new birth, no matter what you may have, you cannot be a man after God's own heart. This is the primary thing. Spiritual life commences here. It starts at the cross. And whether you're a child or a young person or an adult in this service, can you say, "The Lord's my shepherd, my Savior, all my trust for my soul's salvation is in the Son of God. I have repented of my sin and have believed in Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. So David was a man after God's own heart in regeneration. Secondly, he was a man after God's own heart in consecration. You will notice how our text says, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David was a man who was motivated. He was driven by the will of God. Notice what it says in verse 36 of the chapter. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, the margin says, after he had in his own age served the will of God. Here was David's prayer in Psalm 25 and verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. David was just like a servant, waiting on the master's orders. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Teach me thy will. It's in the word that God reveals his divine will. It's through the word that we can have the mind of Christ. It's in the word that you can discern the will of God for your life. It's every detail and decision. In this degenerate, godless age, some dabble in the occult. Some look to astrology. There are those who frequent the fortune teller, and they look for direction, for counsel, for guidance in these sources. The scriptures warn against such a practice. Saul is a beacon of warning in this area. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verses 13 and 14. So Saul died. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he had committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, the witch of Endor, to inquire of it. And he inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Oh, how futile, how erroneous it is, how erring it is to turn to the fortune teller, to astrology, to any other source. David stood ready to do all the will of God. Not just some aspects of the will of God, which he found inviting and pleasing to himself. He did all the will of God. Saul, he lost the throne through failure in this area. in the matter of dealing with the Amalekites, all was to be destroyed, both man and beast. And we find that Saul spared Agag, the best of the sheep and of the oxen. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 12, we are told, "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. I have made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." We're reading of Saul here, and we find him intruding into the office of the priest and offering a sacrifice, clearly against the will of God. Samuel had the follow-on message as a consequence: "Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee." What a foolish thing it is to act contrary to the revealed will of God, to go in the opposite direction when the Lord has made his will known. The will of God is always good. It's always acceptable. May your will and mine be lost in the divine will. A young Christian asked an older believer, "What does it mean to be crucified with Christ?" The older believer responded, "It means three things. A man on a cross is facing only one direction. Secondly, he is not going back. And thirdly, he has no further plans of his own." And that was true of Paul. He could say in the words of Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 20, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Paul was dead to all besides the divine will. "What wilt thou have me to do?" was his heart's desire, his prayer. Epaphras, that man of prayer in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 4, he offered this prayer for the believers. And how appropriate it is. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring for you fervently in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." The man after God's own heart, he stood perfect and complete in all of the divine will. His will was lost in the divine. May you and I be able to say, "Oh, I delight in his command, love to be led by his dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary." David, a man after God's own heart in regeneration and consecration. And thirdly, in imitation. When it came to choosing a new king to succeed Saul, David was not the natural successor as far as human choice was concerned. The Lord told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and he would find a king among his sons. When Eliab, Jesse's oldest son, stood in Samuel's presence, the prophet was greatly impressed. Without reservation, he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Samuel was impressed by outward appearance. The Lord sees the heart. Seven of Jesse's sons were rejected. There in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verses 10 and 11, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep." Jesse didn't even think of sending for the youngest. "He's just a youth, Samuel. He's a shepherd. He's not cut out to be the sovereign." Samuel said, "Jesse, send for him." And when David came in, verse 12, 1 Samuel 16, he brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. The margin says he was fair of eyes. He was of a beautiful A striking countenance. Is there anyone else in Scripture referred to in a similar way? Yes, the beloved, the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, in response to the daughters of Jerusalem, the bride has this to say of her beloved. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Verse 12, "His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set." The verse 16, she concludes, "His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." What a likeness David has to Christ, of a beautiful countenance, of fair eyes. What did Goliath have to say about David? He noticed his features and mocked them in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 42. "When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." Goliath, that enemy of God, despiser of Israel, type of the devil, he hated the likeness that he saw in David to the Lord. It was so striking that even this emissary of hell could not help but notice. And this is the purpose of God in salvation: likeness to our Redeemer. Romans 8 and the verse 29 explains, when it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate," what for? "To be conformed to the image of his Son." Our lives are to be a savor of Christ. The longer husband and wife live together, the more they act and talk alike, and the more we commune with the Lord in prayer, and the more God talks to us from his word, so the likeness grows. It's said of the heathen, the adherence to false gods, in Psalm 115 and the verse 8. Psalm 115 and verse 8, they that make idols are like unto them. Isn't that striking? The idol makers are like unto them. Those whom Seba and Salmunna slew, they had to say to Gideon in Judges 8 and verse 18 that those whom they had slain were like the children of the king. We are children of the King of Kings. May there be a resemblance. May there be a likeness. Oh, may we be conformed more and more to the divine image, so that others will readily take notice, take knowledge of you and I, that we have been with Jesus. But lastly, David, a man after God's own heart, fourthly, in reputation. When Saul was troubled, disturbed by the evil spirit, his servants were anxious to bring him relief. Where could they turn to? Who could they bring that would comfort Saul? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 17, Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." And one of those servants said to him, "Send for David." Verse 18, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." This servant, he realizes that David is a man with a reputation. He says, "Saul, the Lord is with him." He is away out there among the sheep performing that humble task. But such is his reputation that it reaches the king's palace. David is known as one whom the Lord is with. He has made a name for himself as a godly young man. We all have a reputation. When people are summing up your life and mine, what do they say? Do they say, oh yes, he's a Christian, she's a believer? Are you marked out as one of the Lord's people? Timothy had a good reputation. In Acts 16, verses 1 and 2, then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. What a reputation Timothy had. Well reported of. What about Ananias? In Acts 22 and verse 12, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. What a reputation. The disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. They had a reputation of being Christ's ones. May that be true of us. May we be known as followers of Christ, as belonging to Him. May we be known as those living epistles read of all men. David, a man after God's own heart. The Lord is still looking for such, and may we profit much from our study of David this morning.